Today's scripture comes from the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and it's the story of Philip's encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, after Peter and John had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, proclaiming the good news to many villages of the Samaritans. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go south to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a wilderness road. He got up and went. Now, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of the entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join in." So Philip ran to it and heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in, sit beside him. And now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, as he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask, does the prophet say this? Is it about himself or is it about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away and went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch saw him no more. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. For me, this is one of the most memorable stories in the New Testament, not because it is about Jesus himself, but rather because it's about how we can follow in the path of inclusion. For many years, the UCC was nearly alone in working to include LGBTQ folk in the life of the mainline church. And this passage yields some profound messages about welcoming those whom some Christians consider outcasts or untouchables. I remember following Matthew Shepard's death, reading a memorial sermon given at St. John's Episcopal Cathedral in Denver by Tom Troger, who was my preaching professor at ILEF. And in this sermon, Tom told a story about being a little kid and his playmates during recess would link hands and form a circular human chain. And the game they played consisted of having one child outside the circle, trying to enter the circle, and the other children trying to keep them from breaking in while chanting, you're out, you can't come in. Have you ever felt that you were being kept outside the circle that you wanted to break into and become a part of? Most of us have. Insiders are often good at keeping outsiders at bay, whether on the playground, in the workplace, in church, or in society. Some people even build physical walls. Imagine what it was like for LGBTQ folks to be rejected and excluded by the church of their youth. Or maybe you felt that exclusion yourself because of your sexual orientation or your gender identity. It is horrific and spiritually damaging. But what if the church decided to turn the tables when we speak of inclusion and of extending God's love? What if we opened our arms wide and chanted, you're in, love won't let you go. The story of the Ethiopian eunuch has become even more relevant in American society the past few years with the wide media coverage of police shootings of African American women and men and children, and the rise of the Black Lives Matter movement. You may or may not be aware that I've been a part of a Fort Collins clergy group that has been working closely with the Fort Collins Police Services for 6 years on issues surrounding dialogue, training, and accountability of police with our community. Overall, I think our police are doing things pretty well. But it's stunning to read of yet another police shooting or killing of unarmed Black men and women. The message from some quarters seems to be that Black lives really don't matter. And you know that isn't what our text today says. When Philip stops on his way to Gaza and hears a Black man, an Ethiopian, reading aloud, as was the custom in the ancient world, he stops and asks if the man knows what he's reading about. And the reason Philip does this is because he knew that Black lives matter. They matter to God and they matter to us. You don't need to look very far to find African people in the Bible. Whether Pharaoh or Simon of Cyrene or the Ethiopian eunuch, Black and brown people populate both testaments. The Ethiopian eunuch was not untouchable simply because he was Black. He was considered ritually impure because he had been castrated. Even though he was a court official and was educated, reading the Hebrew scriptures, the Ethiopian eunuch could never become a full member of the Jewish tradition because of what they considered his ritual uncleanliness. So why do you think the author of the Acts of the Apostles includes this account? Why does the writer describe the scene of encounter, of teaching, of baptism, of inclusion? Jesus himself and his earliest followers replaced the centrality of ritual purity with the core value of compassion. This story highlights a great departure from our roots in first century temple Judaism, namely that our religious tradition is meant to welcome the other, the untouchable, to become part of God's household. That is our goal, as yet unattained. God has work for us to do around compassion and inclusion. Our white sisters and brothers have work to do around examining our privilege and acting to dismantle it. We, especially white Christians, need to do a lot more listening to our sisters and brothers of color about how they experience the world. The Interfaith Council of Fort Collins and World Wisdom's project presented a powerful presentation on Zoom, hearing the stories of people of color here in Fort Collins while asking all of the white persons on the Zoom call to mute themselves and turn off their video cameras. It gave others a chance to be seen and heard. And you can find that on the World Wisdoms Project website. Deep repentance, metanoia, starts by listening, by hearing the brokenness of American history played out in millions of lives. It continues then to transformation, changes of heart and of mind, shifts in our patterns of belief and behavior, and it concludes in wholeness, both for individuals and for societies. Our nation can never be whole while the wound of racism remains open. And it takes people like you, like all of us, working together to make a difference. It's in the way we raise our children. It's in the way we talk to our neighbors, lift up our voices, and march where and when necessary and vote to effect social change. This coming October, you'll have the chance to listen deeply to the Reverend Tracy Blackman, who will be with us as our second visiting scholar of the year. She's not only our UCC Associate General Minister for Justice and Local Church Ministries, but she was also the local church pastor of a UCC congregation in Ferguson, Missouri, at the time of the shooting of Michael Brown in 2014. She knows of what she speaks, and I hope that you'll join us to listen and to learn. You may know the rest of that passage from Isaiah that the Ethiopian was reading. It's the story of the suffering servant from Isaiah 53. Let me read to you from the prophecy. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living. How many perversions of justice have we seen in this nation in regard to our Black sisters and brothers since 1619? How many Black men have been taken away unjustly by mass incarceration? How many Black men have been cut off from the land of the living by miscarriages of justice in applying the death penalty? We need to end perversions of justice. We need to work toward the goal of listening to, including, and advocating for the other. We need to work on our own racism, which is rooted deeply in American culture. It's the water we swim in. It's the air we breathe. Christians of privilege, which includes almost all of us in some form or fashion, must work toward collective salvation. As Paul said, we must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I do not believe that we are beyond redemption as a people. And I know that redemption of our history of racism will take a lot of hard work and that it will take generations. So let's keep on working as midwives, helping to birth the kingdom of compassion, inclusion, and justice that Jesus proclaimed. Let us not say that we are too weary. Because we hear that refrain. You're in. God's love won't let you out. Amen.